chapter 4. Thank you again for being here this morning. I want to continue with where we left off 2 weeks ago. We took a bit of a brief respite last weekend for our Memorial Day service, but I want to get back to the subject of healing hurts. And I want to preach to you again. I'm going to give you a brief review. If you did not hear the sermon from 2 weeks ago, you can get that sermon if you may want a CD. And I'm going to give you a brief review of it this morning, and then we're going to go right into the next part of it. But you can order a CD back here at the sound booth if you'd like to get one. They'll get it to you in about a week. And you can listen to it in your car or wherever you want to. But Luke chapter 4 is where we're going to actually get back into it this morning. But I want you to stay there, but I'm going to give you a brief review and pray first, give you a brief review, and then we're going to go right back into Luke chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, once again, we ask your hand of blessing upon us. Father, what a wonderful week again. Father, thank you for so much going on, for your work being done, for the power of your grace being in so many lives and so many people being touched. I pray this morning now again that you would strengthen each and every heart. Father, that you'd give me the ability that is so desperately needed, Father, to be able to get this truth to the hearts and minds of others. I ask that your Spirit would do his working, Father, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about briefly this concept. Listen carefully. Sin is the cause of all hurt. Sin is the cause of all hurt. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, and I want to spend a few moments this morning explaining that concept again. All hurt that anyone will ever experience is either directly or indirectly the result of sin. Not a sin necessarily personally that you may commit, but because sin is in the world, we have sickness, we have death, we have pain, we have grief. It may not be a sin that you personally have committed. If you'll remember, throughout the whole Bible, the reason that things happen, you'll see several illustrations that God specifically states that an individual person is not guilty of anything. But the very fact that the concept of sin exists and creation as a whole is cursed, that is why we have hurt and pain and suffering here. Listen to me, it is not God's fault that we have hurt and pain and suffering. So often people are passing blame onto God and they're becoming bitter at God. Listen, why don't you hate the devil? He's the one that's the author and finisher of that faith. It is not Jesus Christ that has brought sin into this world, but it is humanity and satanic working that has brought sin into this world. And thereby, because sin exists, we have the ability to be hurt. We have the hurt that, and the grief and the sorrow that we carry with us so many times. Listen, death is not a result of God. Life is a result of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's death that is caused by sin, friends. It's the concept of sin itself that has caused us to be in the predicament of possessing the brokenness that we often possess and the pain we often experience. It hurts me when I see people directing their anger to God because of what has come into their life. That is not the proper place to direct your anger. It's not God's fault. You say, but God controls everything and He allows it. Yes, He does control everything, but God has placed limits upon Himself, things that He will not do because He has to be just and He has to allow the plan that He has. And listen to me, friend, the plan of God from the very beginning, the entire creation that He made was there ultimately to glorify Him. And He could not receive that glorification if He made us all automatronic robots and allowed us just to programmed us, pre-programmed us to go through a life. God knows what will happen, but God does not control every detail of your life on purpose. If He had done that, you would have no free will. You would not have the power to choose right and wrong. God would control each and every aspect of your life. So don't blame God for your hurt. He's not the author of that. Occasionally He does allow the devil to combat you. Occasionally He punishes us on purpose. Those things happen. But that's not where the vast majority of the pain and suffering in this world comes from. In Isaiah 57, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to go through several verses in review last week, 2 weeks ago. Isaiah 57, 18. You have to understand that all healing comes from God. You will not get healing any other place than at the foot of Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, the Bible says that God will heal because we are His. God is not intent on having His children suffering indefinitely through pain, through torture, through torment, through the drama and the damages that happen through in the course of our lives. God says, listen, you're my children. I do not wish that upon you. I am here not to allow you to continue to have and possess that suffering and be subject to it. I am here to give you the healing from that. And He says, I will heal because you're mine. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, we found out why we are unhealed. We are unhealed because we are not converted, or we do not turn direction or change direction. We find ourselves going in a direction because of our hurt and our pain. And God says, listen, I need you to turn and come back to me. In Matthew chapter 13, the key to healing is revealed. It is turning back to Christ. In Luke chapter 4, where we're going to look at again today, we originally saw that Jesus Christ gave His mission statement as He began His ministry. That mission statement being that He came to accomplish certain things, and one of those great things that He came to accomplish was to heal. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, we saw that with His stripes we are healed. The very sacrifice of Christ itself was designed to provide to us the healing from the damage of sin. And in Psalm chapter 30, verse 2, the psalmist says, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. And God reveals to us in Psalm chapter 30, verse 2, that it is not Jesus Christ, in a sense, that heals us from some outward, exterior thing. It is He that is the agent of healing itself. It is Jesus Christ that is the balm. It is Jesus Christ that is the salve. It is Jesus Christ that has the power to bind. It is Jesus Christ and His presence that gives us the healing that's needed. And then what's needed for each and every person who hurts is for them to come back to Christ and spend time with Him. And that is where the healing comes from. Before any healing can be happening physically, there has to be healing spiritually. Before you can function properly as a Christian, as God designs you to function, you cannot be subject to your hurts continually. You have to know how to overcome those things. You have to know how to overcome that divorce. You need to know how to overcome that abuse. You need to know how to overcome that financial destruction. You need to know how to overcome the fear of that deadly disease. Those things are not given to you, listen, from some outside entity. Those things, the healing of the spirit, the healing of the soul, those are things that only come in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That healing is given to you as you are in the presence of Him, as you are walking with Him, as you are spending time with Him. His presence itself is the power of transformation. When it comes to that kind of healing, I want to take you back to Luke chapter 4, if you would, in your Bibles. And let's look here in verse 16 as we go on to some new ground. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, speaking of Jesus, it says, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. and he closed the book. Jesus Christ delivered for all of history to record and to understand that he has a mission. He has a purpose. And one of the great parts of the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ is because he was anointed, he was set up to provide the healing that is needed in humanity. And especially the healing that is needed in his people. His mission is to see that happen. I want you to look carefully at verse 18 again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to, next word, heal. I need to go with you for a few moments to that word heal so that you have an understanding of what that word means. Because if everybody in this room has an understanding that's different of what that word heal is, we're not going to be able to understand the truth from here on out. You understand that the word heal here in the Greek is actually the word cure. It means a cure. It's a cure for something. If you have a deadly disease and the doctors administer medicine, that medicine may attack the disease or somehow allow your body to overcome that disease, and it has been given to you as a cure. Jesus Christ says that I have been anointed to give you the cure for your hurt. Let me tell you something, because it's often, and I preach these kinds of messages, I think people misunderstand what I'm saying, and I want to be very clear this morning. My mother passed away several years ago. When my brother-in-law passed away several weeks ago, I was riding with my father-in-law in the car. And he made a statement to me after the funeral, and I'd preached the funeral. He said, Robert, he said, thank you so much. He said, that helped me so much. And as a preacher, as a pastor, the thing that you want to try to accomplish and when you preach somebody's funeral or a memorial service of some type is you want to somehow help those who are hurting, help those who are grieving. And he looked at me in my eyes and he said, Robert, I want to thank you so much. That was so helpful to me. He said, I think I'm done crying. And I looked at him and I said, Dad, no, I don't think you're done crying. I said, I've lost my mom several years ago and I'm still not done crying. And I know he's not done crying. And I know you sit here this morning and you carry the weight and the hurt and you carry the pain of that which has afflicted you. And it oftentimes brings, if you're not crying outwardly, you're certainly crying in your heart of hearts. And I don't know, my friends, that we ever get done crying. And I don't know that we should stop crying, because God doesn't promise us now that we're ever going to stop crying. He doesn't promise to take away the cry right now. He just promises to give you the cure. That's different. You got to understand that. You've lost a loved one here and it grieves your heart. And you almost think, listen, it would almost be unjust for me to walk away from this and not think about that loss and not think about the struggle and not think about the tragedy. And listen, Jesus Christ is not telling you this morning to turn your back on your loved one, to stop crying for your loss, to get rid of your sorrow. It is not your sorrow that he wants you to lose. He wants you to understand that he is a cure for the pain that you're suffering. He'll bring you the understanding that you need. It is Jesus Christ that will show you how to live past it. Because that's what a cure is. The cure takes that which would destroy you. The cure takes that which would hinder you. The cure takes that which would kill you. And allows you to live beyond the destruction of that disease. And my friends, I still face this trial of sin every day, and so do you in your life. And we still face the trial of suffering every day, and so do you in your life. And Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to take away your suffering. I'm going to give you a cure to live past it. He said, that's what I'm going to give you to live. You have to understand, healing is not to forget the tragedy, because that wouldn't be right. You need the tragedy That tragedy in your life, that hurt that you're facing is there for a purpose, a God-ordained purpose. Even if you can't understand it, I'm going to tell you something. God has the ability to make everything that comes into your life make sense if you go to Him for the cure. Say, preacher, I'm not even sure how to wrap my head around that. I'm not even sure how I deal with the understanding of that. And I can't address every particular situation of every life in this room. I cannot personally make sense of your situation, but I tell you one thing, I have a Savior who can, and I know that because He makes sense in mine every day of my life. And that's why you've got to get to Him. Healing is not the absence of the hurt, my friend. It is the power to live past that hurt. It is the power to serve past that hurt. It is the power to function for the Lord Jesus Christ past that hurt. It is the power to never forget that tragedy, but to use that tragedy to function and to serve and to give yourself more deeply than you ever have before. And I want you to remember something, whatever you have gone through in your life, whatever hurt that you're facing, I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God this morning, do not think for one second that God does not understand your pain or feel it. You see, I was thinking about this and having some conversations about this subject with several people after the last sermon. And some things came to my attention that I hadn't personally thought about. The fact that God grieves. Did you know that God grieves? Do you know why God grieves? God grieves because of sin. Because sin, even though God has never committed sin and all over that Jesus Christ has never committed a sin, Jesus still wept. He still sorrowed. The Bible says He was a man broken and acquainted with grief. The fact that God Himself grieves at what sin has done to us ought to be able to facilitate in us a greater understanding of the fact that God Himself understands how we think and feel. And if you have hurt in your heart this morning, if your soul is grieving for whatever it is, you have a God that is capable of sensing and knowing and understanding that more deeply than our finite minds could ever understand. And that is why He says, you come to Me. You spend time in My presence. My friends, you need the doctor for your spiritual hurt. You need the doctor. That it's not Dr. Phil that you need. And it's not Dr. Oz that you need. It's Dr. Jesus that you need. You'll go sit for hours in some silly man's office and wait impatiently to try to get some medicine to possibly make you physically better. But you won't spend 5 minutes with the great physician, and you're missing the whole power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor and go pray. I'm not saying that, okay, because your MRSA is going to eat you alive, all right? What I am saying is this. You go to the great physician who heals those spiritual hurts, who has the power to strengthen you beyond anything that you can ever understand, who has the power to take the greatest of tragedies and the most severe of hurts and show you that He has a purpose for you, that He has a vision for you, that He has a love for you that you cannot comprehend. And you ought to have a healthy hate for the devil and sin, because he's the one that allowed to cause the pain and the hurt that you're suffering, not God. Don't forget that. Look at verse 18 if you would. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first healing that God brings is the healing of the Spirit. Because every person that is born, every person that lives on this planet has one great spiritual need, one great spiritual curse that is upon them, and that is the curse of sin. And only through the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can we be healed from that curse. And let me tell you something, it is one great thing that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we place our faith in what He did for us and nothing else, and we say, Jesus, it's all on You. I'm trusting what You did and nothing else. He said the gospel, that good news of that plan has the power to give you the gift of eternal life, has the power to destroy the concept of sin in your life. But you have to submit yourself to that. You have to trust that by faith. You have to make that decision. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to cure the brokenhearted. I want to show you something this morning. I want to explain to you what the word brokenhearted means. There's some very specific Greek words that describe what that word brokenhearted means. The word hearted is the word cardio or cardia in the Greek. It means this core, your center, your heart. And the word broken here does not mean like breaking a twig. It does not mean like your car broke down. It does not mean you've suffered a bit of a loss. If I were to take this aluminum ball bat right here, and this was a glass vase, and I were to rear back, and let me tell you something, I can hit the ball. I can't hit it like Tim can hit it, but I can hit it pretty good. And if I were to reach back with all my might and swing for the fences and hit that vase as hard as I could with as much speed as I could possibly muster in this baseball bat, and hit that vase and break that vase into thousands of pieces, God says, that's what the brokenhearted is right here. He said, I have the power to put back together a heart that has been ripped and blasted to pieces. No matter what the depth of your hurt, no matter how hard your heart has been hammered, no matter how broken you may seem that you feel, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ said, my mission statement is to take that which is literally blasted into shivers, and I'm going to give you the cure for that kind of a heartbreak. God says, I came to give that to you. I know you were hoping I was going to break that, but they were getting ready to move. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to cure that which is broken into shivers, to preach deliverance to the captives. You might be broken here today because you are in a box that you can't get out of. Deliverance to the captives here means opening the cell of the jail, so that you can walk out if you wish. You see, oftentimes we're in a cell not because we can't leave, but because we won't leave. Jesus said, I've come to tell you, preach to you, I've come to yell in your ears that the cell door is open. I've come to scream at you, to preach to you, to holler aloud to you, that if you're bound by something, I have come to tell you that the door is open. Now you must go through. Deliverance to a captive.
If you're sitting here and you're bound by something, you might be bound by the psychology of the damage that has occurred in your life. You might be bound by a sin that has drugged you down and ruined your life repetitively for years now. You may be bound by the fact that there's disappointment in your life or depression or something of that nature. And listen, I'm not telling you don't go get some medicine to fix yourself up, but I'm going to tell you don't go get some medicine and fix yourself up until you go to the great physician and see how bad your problem really is. You see, everybody wants to so quickly throw a Band-Aid on the problem. And the Band-Aid isn't going to fix you, friend. Jesus Christ has the cure to so many things you have no understanding. I don't want you to sit in your cell for the next 25 years of your life pouring over the spilt milk that's happened in your life when God said, no, listen, the door is open. Now come out. And Christian friend, listen, there are so many people that are sitting in this room right now, and it's not that you can't get out, it's that you won't get out because you've allowed yourself to stay in there and you won't get off your feet and head towards the Savior. Because I got news for you, He ain't inside the door, He's outside the door. He unlocked it for you on Calvary. It's time to step up and step out. It's time to spend some time. Don't come to me and say, preacher, it hasn't worked until you're spending an hour a day with Christ. You spend an hour a day walking with Him, you will be surprised what happens in your life. Look at the Scriptures again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. Of course, there are two meanings here without question. Number one, He can give you a vision you've never had. So often people get buried in their circumstances and they cannot see beyond them. And I promise you, you spend some time with Christ and He will give you a vision beyond who you are right now. Not only that, I believe this can be talking about physical healing. There is no question we have testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony in this church right now sitting here where the Lord Jesus Christ has physically touched somebody's body and healed them. There is no question that He has that power. He does not always choose that power to use that power because you're misunderstanding your plight. Your plight wasn't given to you, wasn't allowed to happen to you because He doesn't want it. Sometimes it's given to you. We're going to preach on that later, not today. But the burden that you carry has a purpose, and you need to find your purpose in that burden. But I believe that Jesus Christ has the power of physical healing as well. He does it all the time. There is no question. We could just start the stories. They would never end. He'll give you a vision, though. And lastly, I want to just take a few minutes at this next statement. To set at liberty them that are bruised. I want you to understand what the word bruised there means. Because it's a very specific word. It talks about if you were to have... We had a bowl of fruit in our kitchen all the time. Usually it lasts for about 60 seconds after we buy it. The kids just consume it. It's gone. But occasionally, a piece or two gets left in there longer than what it should. The other day, we had an orange that was actually growing a rainforest on it. And I was like, man, that must have been damaged before we got it because it hadn't been in our house that long. You know, sometimes you get a piece of fruit and it's in the center of the bag somewhere and you kind of check it out real good, but you don't see that there's some damage there, but there really is. It's just in the bowl for a couple of days, and all of a sudden, man, there's all kinds of stuff growing on it. So I took that and fed it to the kids, amen. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I threw it in the garbage. But the word bruised here is talking about a bruise, like a bruise on a piece of fruit. It actually means something a little bit different than just the bruise itself. But it says here within the context, He is going to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, liberty itself, the idea of liberty, is the concept of not being bound or tied. And the tense of that Greek word, bruise there, is a crushing word. Similar to this, Brother Mark, if I were to put some ropes around your wrist and I were to pull them as tight as I could, and it would damage your skin. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking specifically about those that are damaged from the bondage of sin. Sin somehow is binding you and so tightly bound that it's damaging everything about you. He said, I didn't just come to do these other things, but I have come to rescue you from the damaging plight of your sin. I want to heal you. I want to cure you. I want you to overcome that. I want you to have victory. I want those bounds to be cut, and I want you to be set free so that your wounds can heal. That's what he's talking about here. He said, to set at liberty them that are bruised from their bonds. You have a Savior that does that, and you know what? It's not rocket science how He does it. It's not, and I'll show you some different methods and things like that later, but you have got to get in your heart and in your head one thing, the place where you're going to receive this healing, the place where you're going to understand the cure, the place where it's going to be applied to your life, where your hurt is. You're going to find in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place you're going to get it. So teenager, listen to me this morning. Maybe your heart's hurting and you're insecure. Maybe somebody said something about you and damaged your feelings and you just can't get past it. You want to strike back. You're so angry and you're just ready to walk out. You just don't want to have any part of this anymore because people have been unkind. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not the right answer. The right answer is go to the feet of Christ. I don't care what kind of tragedy has come in your life. You've lost a loved one. Perhaps you feel responsible in some way for some great, terrible action that's happened. Perhaps that you've lost something that you can never replace. Maybe a life has been damaged or taken from you. I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's a divorce. Perhaps it's some kind of a deadly disease that you possess. I want to tell you something. You cannot go any place. You will never function like God wants you to function. You don't have the capability of doing that until you get a hold of the cure, until you spend time in the great physician's office, until you go there and you sit there, you spend time with Him, you fellowship with Him, and I got news for you. He's not ready to rush you out and take the next payment. He's always got more time. He'll sit there and chat. He'll sit there and talk. He just wants you in His presence because it's His power. It's His presence that is the cure. You just got to go there. You just got to go there. And my friends, until you go there, the hurt that has changed your life, that you feel you will never be the same again from, that hurt will never be cured until you get there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, perhaps you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you something. The gospel is preached to you this morning. The Holy Spirit has probably already spoken to your heart in some way. You need to know for sure that you have a home in heaven. You have to get past. You got to get past the fear that exists. Because hell is real. And so is heaven. Jesus Christ has promised you the gift of eternal life. A gift of eternal life. But you have to make a decision to place your faith on what He did for you and nothing else. And you may not completely understand what we mean by that, but the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart right now. And you need to know how to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And we have several people that will be up here in the front in just a moment. We're all going to stand to our feet in just a few moments, and the piano is going to play. And if that's you, when that piano begins, you step out from your seat, you come down to this altar, and one of our workers down here will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. And you can begin to heal. You can begin the first part of healing is meeting the Savior face to face. Or perhaps you've got some other healing. Oh, we all have them. There's probably not a person in this room that doesn't have hurt, that doesn't have sorrow, that doesn't have grief. And I just want to open this altar to you again this morning. Come to Christ. Pour those things out and understand why He came. Begin to spend some time with Him so your hurts can be cured, so you can live past them with purpose, with vigor, with understanding. Let's stand to our feet this morning. As Abby plays, you step out right away if you need to use the altar.